This video is sponsored by New Masters Academy. New Masters Academy is an online educational website for artists. We offer a rigorous art education focusing on building fundamental art skills. New Masters Academy is affordable, a fraction of the cost of traditional art school. Our course library includes over 1,600 hours of video instruction. Our courses are taught by top professional artists and instructors with decades of experience in both the fine art and entertainment art fields. Every course is included with your subscription. All courses are available for unlimited streaming. Premium subscribers also get access to our art reference library of over 50,000 high-resolution images. Premium subscribers also get access to our revolutionary 3D art reference library. You can share your successes and struggles on our public forums or interact live through our Discord channel. Get portfolio reviews, personalized learning plans, career advice, and more. Go to www.nma.art and start your 7-day free trial. You can use the coupon code ARTPROF at checkout to save 20% off your subscription.
Hello, everybody. Today, I am demonstrating tricks and effects that you can use for painting in watercolor. If you would like to grow as an artist and you can't afford an art class, we've got everything you need here at ArtProf: critiques, tutorials, and professional development. So you know, the art supply links are in the video description below, and there are so many art supplies today, and I'm going to review and explain all of them. Let's get started by talking about the differences between watercolor cakes and watercolor tubes. Everybody has their own personal preference. I like the cakes when I'm traveling. It's just a lot easier. It's lower mess, but they're not as juicy as a tube of paint. So if I squirt this out, to activate this paint is incredibly easy. It's just a little bit like that. Whereas, oh man, I almost put that in my coffee. If you do the cakes, it's a little bit more work. Not a huge amount of work, but it is more work. And usually it's harder to get the darker values from the cakes because you have to like work the paint to get that going. Whereas with the tube, it just comes right out and you can actually paint with it quite thickly. There's not one that's better than another. It just depends on your circumstance and your personal experience. Let's go over brushes and sponges. For example, I always like to have a sponge like this when I'm painting, because oftentimes you can go through 5,000 paper towels. And so if I'm just trying to make my brush not totally dry, I'll just take the brush and put it into the sponge, and the sponge absorbs the watercolor without going through so many paper towels. And I use this a lot when I'm traveling. Watercolor is so good for traveling. And so that's why I also have silly things like this. This is a Faber-Castell click and go water cup. And the way it works is you can do this, and it's just a little bit easier to pack. Not a gigantic difference. You don't have to have one of these, but I know when I was traveling all over the place, every square inch in your backpack actually does make a difference. Tell me in the chat, who here is a studio watercolor artist and who here does plein air, works with watercolor when you're traveling? Because it's definitely really good because it's low mess, it's water soluble, you don't need a lot of supplies. So I really enjoy it a lot. Some people like to have a full-out palette like this. It doesn't have to be as big as mine. That's totally up to you. And let me show you the different types of surfaces you can paint on, because I think for a lot of people, the more obvious response is either hot press paper, which is really smooth, or cold press paper, which is rough. Again, it's personal preference. I happen to really like the cold press paper because I find it a lot easier to make textures and do dry brushing techniques. Hot press is very smooth. And so if you're doing textured stuff, you have to find another way to do it. But some people like the way the hot press just glides across the surface. I know Alex Rowe swears by hot press. I happen to like cold press a lot. So let me show you the difference between hot press and cold press. If I take my Sumi brush and I want to do, let's say, some dry brushing, a dry brush technique can look like this on cold press paper. And you can see how rough that is. It doesn't have to be that rough. I mean, you can certainly try something like this, which is a little bit more of a wash. And then if you want to do something that's really smooth, you load up your brush with a lot more water, but you need more water to get a really clean stroke with cold press. Sorry, I don't want to make things even more confusing for you. So let me show you what that looks like on the hot press, because it is a little bit different, but most of it, honestly, is different in terms of touch. And so a lot of what I'm demonstrating today, you won't really get it until you try it yourself. So let's do some dry brushing. And you can see it's a really different result. Let me try one that has barely any water. Let me see how textured I can get it. It's difficult. It's not so easy. In fact, let me draw out my brush even more. Let's try that. So you can see it's a very different type of texture. This looks very grainy in a way. This has dry brushing in it, but it's a lot more smooth. And then if I want to make a mark that really is smooth, it's super easy. Like, I don't need a lot of paint to do that. So the issue is that the cold press paper, it's a lot rougher. It's a lot more resistant than what you're going to get here. And so one is not better than the other. It just really depends on your personal preference. Okay. We also have these three types of UPO paper. And by the way, I will take breaks to go through the chat and answer questions. So if you have a question or a comment, type it in now, and I'll go back, scroll up, and see what people are saying after a little bit. All right, so this is UPO paper. And by the way, I want to give a big thank you to Legion Paper, who provided the UPO paper that we're going to be using today. And also a big thank you to Winsor Newton, who provided many brushes, all of the watercolor mediums, the watercolor cakes, and the tubes. They stocked me up with watercolor supplies. So thank you, Winsor Newton. UPO paper is a little hard to explain. And honestly, when I heard about it, I was like, that's not going to work. Because the paper, when you touch UPO paper, it's very smooth. I mean, it verges on feeling like acetate. It's not quite that smooth, but it's surprising. And you would think touching it, that it wouldn't work with watercolor paper. I mean, I don't know what magic they did, but it definitely works. I mean, look at this. Isn't that really cool? I mean, you wouldn't think that something this smooth would catch the watercolor paper. Actually, I think this little resist area is from the oil in my fingers. Let me try a stroke that's a little bit darker. I mean, isn't this incredible that all of these minor strokes show? Like, look up close. Let me do one that's even darker so we have a broader range of value. It's like the UPO paper, it just picks up everything. It's really remarkable. It is hard to do this type of rough texture because it's so smooth, but you can see it's gorgeous. I mean, let me do something that's like really watery. I mean, this is just, it feels good. It feels like you're painting on a baby's bum. I don't know. It just feels so soft. So this is UPO translucent and it's pretty thin. I mean, it's not super thin. It's durable. I mean, you don't have to worry about anything happening to this, but you can see it is translucent. And next, we have UPO medium. And the main difference really is just in thickness. Okay, so this is the same paper, same feeling, but it's not translucent. Okay, it's totally opaque. And so if I go in, it doesn't really feel that different than the other one. It's just more durable and it's not translucent. And so if you're into translucency, that's probably the one to go on. I guess you can try, let me try to do something really dry. I don't know if I'm actually gonna pull it off, but let's do like almost no water. So, okay, you can get strokes like this that are fairly detailed, but it does not seem like this is possible with the UPO paper. We also have UPO heavy, which is what it sounds like. It's heavy and it's really heavy. Like it almost, it feels like thick Bristol board, actually. It doesn't really feel like paper. And again, I don't think there's a big difference. Yeah, I mean, it just feels more durable, but I think as far as the surface, I don't think it's really that different. So try UPO paper. I was very pleasantly surprised at what an interesting surface it was. I mean, I'm usually very skeptical whenever I hear about new art supplies. But UPO paper, definitely one that I can stand by. All right, let's see what people are saying in the chat. Rachel says, it can take a long time for stuff to dry on UPO because materials don't really absorb into it, but rather sit on top. The plus side is that the colors seem more vibrant because of it. Yeah, actually with UPO paper, you gotta be careful because I tried doing Tombow brush pens and activating the brush pens with water and it did not dry. So UPO paper is not good for water-based markers, but it's fine for ink wash. It's good for watercolor and it feels good. I just love that. Abigail says, what are the signs of a bad watercolor paper? Honestly, if you get it for really cheap, that's probably the sign because watercolor paper is one of those art supplies you definitely get what you pay for. It's not like other art supplies where it kind of doesn't matter what you get, but I really like Arches. I like Winsor & Newton. Those are both really good brands. Arches is not cheap, but I think that the type of watercolor paper you use, it does make or break your experience. If I were to pick between two, do I spend money on the watercolor tubes or the brushes or anything, I would buy inferior paints over inferior paper. The paper matters that much. So that is definitely the place to spend your money if you have it. ESL teacher Marty says, how do you prep papers before painting watercolor? Always seems like it warps and is wobbly. Do you have to prep UPO? UPO, you don't have to prep. It stays totally flat. Now this pad that I have here, this is called a watercolor block. So does everybody see this edge? This is all sealed, okay? So if I come around here, does everybody see how there's like a little opening here? Okay, so this is where you can actually pick up the paper. This is sealed, okay? So on a watercolor block, it's sealed on all four sides. And then what you do is you paint on it and it will get super wobbly and warped. That's the way it's supposed to happen. You let it dry, and then when you come back to it, it'll be totally flat. I think ideally you should get a watercolor block. In my opinion, it's the best, easiest solution, but you can also stretch watercolor paper, and we do have a video on that. If you just look up Art Prof stretch a canvas, it's in that video. And you can do it with staples, you can do it with that gum taped paper that you get at the post office. That's handy, but it's work. I mean, honestly, to me, it's worth the money to just spend on the watercolor block. It's just a lot easier. Risty says, I love Arches, but I find it so hard to experiment and be loose with it because it's so expensive. I know, I feel you on that. When I get nice art supplies, I feel like I don't want to use them. I know that's ridiculous. The whole point is that you want to use it. What you could try is just get a small block. So this block that I have here, this is a pretty big one and it does feel a little bit intimidating, But you can buy a little block of arches. And sometimes if the scale is a little bit smaller, it's a little bit less intimidating to work on. Wilmy is asking, UPO doesn't absorb. No, it's just lighting across the surface. W315 says, does paint on UPO take longer to dry? I don't know for sure, but I bet it does. Just because it's not an absorbent material like paper, it sits on the surface, but it doesn't take forever. I mean, it's not like oil paints or anything like that. Yeah, like this is a good explanation. Carla says, UPO is like painting on a plastic paper. And yes, you have to wipe it down with alcohol to remove your finger oils. Thank you. Very good tip. ComCuke is asking, is the UPO paper texture similar to frosted mylar or Duralar? I've never used UPO because it's not super affordable. The UPO is way softer feeling. I mean, honestly, the way that the UPO paper is, I could just do this all day. This should be like sensory therapy for people. Like this just feels great. And Mylar and Duralar do not produce that sensation. You honestly just have to try it. It's just so hard to describe verbally exactly what it is. Amer is asking, what's the difference between watercolor tube and gouache? Well, I actually do have a tube of gouache here. And the main difference is that gouache is opaque. And so if I squirt out just a little bit of gouache here, you can see it's a very different type of surface. So if I go in, let me just do a little bit of watercolor here. So we'll do this on the UPO paper so you can all see. Okay, so there's my watercolor stroke. And if I go in and I want to do gouache, I mean, sure, I could make it look like watercolor, but it's so much thicker than the watercolor. And it just feels different. Like this is looser, this is a little bit stiffer. And if I wanted to go like full out opaque, I totally could. Whereas with watercolor, it's not as easy to do that. So if I take the gouache and I use very little water, you can do it like this. And then the gouache becomes a lot thicker and more opaque. All right, let's move on and take a look at some of these fun mediums that I'm so excited to share with everybody, because honestly, I have never used these mediums before. This is totally brand new territory. So I'm gonna be just as surprised as all of you. And Winsor & Newton makes so many. Like I had no idea that ox gall liquid existed, or blending medium or gum arabic. This is so fun. So let's just try them all out and see what they look like. How about we start with the iridescent medium? Because it's just so pretty looking. Let's see what that looks like. And actually, it is nice to have paper towels when you're trying to really like clean your brush. The sponge for me is just when I'm trying to cut back on the amount. So you know what I'm gonna do first? I'm just gonna paint with the medium by itself. Oh, it's very shiny. Actually, you could probably just paint with this medium by itself if you wanna make a sparkly watercolor painting. Like it's totally visible on the surface. Maybe I can show you the sheen a little bit. That's really cool. Okay, what I'm gonna do now, I'm gonna get a different color because, oh my God, you guys, I should not put my coffee over there. I totally almost put it into my coffee. Who here has done that? Tell me, how many times a week do you reach for your coffee when you're trying to use your brush? Okay, let's try red. And what I'm gonna do is put a little bit of red here. Oh wait, but I don't really want to put my brush into that. So you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna take the medium, I'm gonna put a little bit of it here on my palette. Actually, I should put it up here. Okay, so there's the medium like that. And let me put in some alizarin crimson like that. And let's see how that iridescent medium looks. It's pretty subtle. I don't really see it that obviously. I mean, it's definitely in there. But honestly, I feel that the iridescent medium, it's more dramatic here where I painted it. Let me see what happens if I put the iridescent medium almost like a glaze. I'd be very curious to see what that looks like. So actually, let me take this, which is already dry, and I'm going to paint the medium over it. Let's just see if that looks better. Oh, I like that way more. So maybe you're not supposed to mix it. Let me see what it says on the back. Mix with transparent watercolor or apply over a dried wash. I really should read the instructions first, shouldn't I? Particularly effective when mixed with transparent colors, especially over dark backgrounds. Shake well before use. Okay, so I guess there's a broad range. I mean, let's try the dark color since that's what the container suggested. So if I take like maybe some black, let's do like a really dark black wash down here in the bottom. Yeah, I could see that being the case because I feel like in the red, the medium, it got full, got absorbed too quickly. Okay, and this then gets me to introduce one of my favorite watercolor tools, which is the hairdryer because I'm too impatient to wait. Okay, let's try this. Who else here keeps their blow dryer under their desk? I do. All right. Let me get another brush. And let's try painting the iridescent medium over the black and see what happens. Oh, whoa. Okay, that really shows. Okay, so I guess with the iridescent medium to be really visible, it works better as a glaze. And it also is more visible when the watercolor is darker in value. Yeah, it's definitely here, but you can barely see it. All right, and I'm gonna take little notes here. Winsor and Newton, iridescent medium. All right, let's try the next one, which I believe is Oxgall liquid. This time, let's read the label. Add 3 to 4 drops per cup of water. That's it? Okay. I'm totally not going to follow that. I just want to put some in and just see how it feels. Let's try that. Again, I'm just going to put it just straight here. All right, it just feels like water. It's not doing that much. Let me try some Naples yellow. Alex Rowe would be so proud of me right now. I mean, maybe I'm using it wrong, but I don't feel any difference. Right? It just feels like water. I mean, it looks like water. And I can't imagine. Finally put 3 to 4 drops per cup of water. I don't see how that would help. Somebody help me out. Does anybody know what Oxgall liquid is? Because I do not know what this thing is supposed to do. But let's mark it so that way we know. Oxgall. Let's move on. Lifting preparation. Apply directly to paper, allow to dry before painting. Dry washes, including staining colors, can be lifted more easily with a wet brush or rag. Recommended to coat the whole surface before commencing painting. Weird. This stuff is so... Who here knows about any of these? Like, I've never tried any of them, and I'm feeling kind of dumb right now. All right. So apparently this one I'm supposed to just paint directly onto the surface, and then I'll come back to it. It's a little sparkly. I mean, not like the iridescent medium. Okay, and then did it say to dry? Yeah, allow to dry before painting. So I guess in theory, it's supposed to make the watercolor easier to lift. All right, here comes the blow dryer. Oh, we have a good question from C. Cantrell, who says, how does the ox gall smell? Let's see. I don't know. I mean, it doesn't smell good. It's not bad, though. I don't know how to describe it. But I don't know. It doesn't smell like water. That's for sure. Bitmasketball says ox gall is a dispersant. The paint will run more into it. Risty says ox gall is to increase flow. I don't know. It doesn't feel any more flowy to me than regular water. Like, is it supposed to flow faster? I don't know. I'm not seeing that. So Alex says it allows the pigment to flow through the liquid. Okay. Chibble says, love the texture of the cold press. You know something? I never used cold press watercolor paper until a couple of years ago. And it was a total game changer. I'd always just use regular paper. And once I discovered the cold press, I could not stop. It was really nice. W315 says ox gall is supposed to decrease water surface tension. All right, so we have all these reasons, but honestly, I can't feel the difference. AC Gleason says ox gall mixed with paint or in the water breaks the surface tension, increases the flow. It makes the paint flow more across the surface, creates some cool wet and wet techniques. Okay, well, maybe that's it. And Alex is saying you have to mix it with water beforehand. Okay, cool. All right, so this is the lifting medium that we tried, and let's put some olive green on top. Let's see if it lifts better. I'm gonna make it dark so that way we can see the pigment a little bit more. I don't know, to me, mediums are not that helpful unless they're really dramatic. Maybe I'm just not a very subtle painter, but to me, acrylic mediums have very visible difference. And so those I can get behind, but the watercolor stuff I think is tougher. Dry washes, including staining colors, lifted more easily with a wet brush or rag. Okay, well, let's see what happens when I lift it. Oh, wow. That does lift better. It's like I barely touched it and it totally lifted. Oh, I'm so surprised because usually you have to work harder to lift. Wow, it worked really well with the paper towel. Wow, I feel like I want to try that sometime. Let's try a section up here that does not have the lifting preparation medium. Okay, so this is right here. Let's move this up. Lifting preparation. Okay, let's do the same color to try to replicate the experience, and I'll lift it and we'll see if there's any difference there. All right, so let's put one up here. So this has no lifting preparation. How many people here use mediums? And which are your favorites? Because I really like those yummy golden acrylic mediums. I don't know. It just feels like you're painting with frosting. It feels really cool. Okay, let's try lifting this up. I'll do the same thing. Let me try one over here. I think it's a minor difference. It's not huge, but I think here, does everybody see how the edge is a little bit more crisp. And up here, it's not as crisp. I don't know that it's enough that I would bother. I mean, maybe if I was doing a reductive painting, I might think about that. But yeah, it's pretty minor. Okay, let's try the next one, which is Gum Arabic. Let's see what it says on the back. Controls spread of watercolor, reduces staining, slows drawing, dilute with water as required. Well, my association with Gum Arabic is with lithography, because lithography is like all Gum Arabic. Gum Arabic is, you use it on every layer, you're always wiping it with cheesecloth. And so I totally get Gum Arabic as a material, but I never use it with watercolor, and it's thick. So I understand why on the back they're telling people to add a little bit of water, because I would imagine that would be hard to do. Okay, so controls the spread. So what I'm gonna do now, I'm gonna take a different color up here. Let me try maybe some orange. Let's just try it here. See how that feels with the Gum Arabic. Actually, let me add a little red, because I don't want it to be the exact same color as the ox gall. I wanna be able to see it a little bit better. Okay, so let's try Gum Arabic. Ooh, I like how that feels. Okay, that is quite visible to me in terms of the feeling on the paper. In fact, let's try adding more Gum Arabic, making it thicker, because I didn't really add that much last time. So let's just really pile it on and see what happens when there's like a lot. Okay, so let me just try, I'll just use the same brush like this. Okay, let's see how that is. I'll put it down here. Ooh, oh, it feels really yum. I like this. I like the Gum Arabic. I'm so surprised. I had no idea that Gum Arabic could feel so good. I don't know. I just associate Gum Arabic with cheesecloth. So I'm not used to this. So Gum Arabic. And here I'm going to write more Gum Arabic. I think what we're discovering is that a lot of what I'm doing right now, it's not necessarily the visual result, but it's the physical feel. Because if you look at all of these, they don't look like anything but watercolor. But the thing is, the way they felt in my brush physically was quite different. And so that's really something to keep in mind, because people ask me all the time about mediums, and I'm sure it's annoying when I say, well, you have to try it, because some people like the smoothness, some people don't. It's such a personal preference thing. Risty says, I got obsessed with granulation medium. Oh, maybe that's another brand. I don't think Winsor & Newton has that. Bit Maskable says, could you please try the lifting medium with a staining pigment like phthalo blue? You know what? I don't have phthalo blue. Sorry. I hate phthalo blue. I know. I hate phthalo blue. I hate phthalo green. I just, that's my personal thing. Margaret says, so glad you're doing this. Your sessions with Alex have gotten me interested in watercolor and gouache. I have new sketchbooks and some old watercolor pencils before resupplying. Vineet says, I feel like if you're using mediums with watercolor, you kind of lose the feeling of watercolor. That depends on your personal preference. I mean, doing these, I still felt like it was watercolor. I didn't feel that it transformed the paint that much. Carrie Ann says, Carrie Ann says, less resistance with the gum. Maybe, because the gum is soft. Soft and oily, it's a little strange. Rachel says, why do you not like phthalo blue? They're just so aggressive, so aggressively saturated. And I am not somebody who likes super bright colors in my paintings. I love super bright colors in other people's paintings. Just I find it a little bit too much. Janessa says to test ox skull, you need to paint with water, then drop the paint into the water to see how the pigment flows. See, maybe I'm a lazy person, but that's just a lot of work. Like when I'm painting, I just want to paint. I could see with the iridescent medium, maybe Lauren would really be into it. But for me, if the mixing of the medium interferes with my personal flow of the painting process, that for me is a little bit of a problem because I like to just go. I don't like having to break up the process so much. Okay, so we have this one, blending medium. It says slows drying to allow blending, extends working time even in hot climates. For maximum effect, dilute with medium only, can also be mixed with water. Okay, so it sounds like this one is not necessarily going to change the final result or look, but rather it's going to extend the dry time, which actually, I don't think I'd like that because with watercolor, if anything, I just want it to dry faster. Like I rarely want it to stay wet for that long. So let me just try putting a little bit of the blending medium in. And I kind of doubt it's going to feel that different, but oops, I think I put in way too much. All right, let's just spread that out a little bit more. All right, that was way too much, but yeah, it just feels like water. So I guess I would just assume that that would take longer to dry. But it's good. I think that especially with acrylics and oils, things like liquin, that dry oil, or like the retarder that you can use with acrylic, really helpful to have that flexibility. Okay, now we have texture medium. Apply directly to paper or mix with watercolor. Shake well before use. Okay, so let's do that. And let's see how textured this is because actually it feels very liquidy. Let me just paint it. Oh, weird. It's thicker for sure. I don't feel like I see that much texture. I mean, I can feel it. You know what it feels like? It feels like really tiny tapioca pearls, like really, really tiny. Let me put some paint on top of it and let's see how that looks because you don't really know until you try it. So some cerulean blue. I don't know. It just feels like there's dirt in my watercolor. Like that happens a lot when I paint plein air. You're painting and just crap flies into your painting. I don't think I like this. It's got texture, but it's not fun texture. And I feel, at least the way I paint, like this would probably get in the way and it would not have the flow that I want. But again, it depends. Like maybe you want that texture. I just know for me, that wouldn't really fit my personal style of painting. And that's the thing to keep in mind is that none of these are right or wrong. It's just your personal preference. Okay, so this one is the texture medium. Okay, and then let's take a look at some other things. For example, and actually, you know what I can do now is show you how to take the watercolor block off. So what you do is you want to grab a palette knife. Okay, so does everybody see this little spot? Let me zoom out so you can see better. Okay, so I'm going to take this little spot here, and what you do is you put your palette knife underneath like that, and then you just push the palette knife across all the sides. And so this basically lifts it off the block. Technically, I should let this dry because then it'll dry flat. I'm taking it off now because we're doing a demo, but in theory, you would want this to dry first. So that way it dries totally flat and then you can take it off the block. Oh, there goes my coffee. shoot. Sometimes they can be a little finicky, so you have to be careful when you're taking them off. Ah, see, like here, I tore it. Okay, there we go. Okay, so now you take it off the block, and in theory, if I'd let this dry, it would be totally dry. Okay, let's take a look at some of the stuff you can add to watercolor. That's really, really fun. So for example, we've got some kosher salt, and it is better to use kosher salt because the grains are just so much bigger. But what you can do, oh shoot, that's got gum arabic on it. Okay, I think I better just clean my palette because there's like so many mediums here that it's gonna make it hard for me to do mixing. I happen to like the bigger palette. I just feel like it's less work, but it depends. I mean, I've seen people use like really small palettes and that's fine. I can show you the materials, but all of you need to just ask yourselves like, okay, what's a good fit for me? It's all about me, 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 right? Okay, let's do the kosher salt. So let's play with, how about some like bright red? I want to get more value right now. Ooh, that feels good. I love cold pressed paper. And actually, I'm going to make one part a little bit lighter in value. So let's do like a gradient that goes down like that. And I will make the top part thicker and darker in value. And we can see how the kosher salt works. So now you take the kosher salt and you stick it on top. And the theory behind the kosher salt is that the salt is now absorbing the water and the watercolor, and it's going to leave some spots later on that you can see, which is really, really fun. Tell me if you've done kosher salt before, because it's such a simple technique, but you can get some really cool results. AC Gleason says, I've tried texture medium when painting rocks and short animal hair, but I think using granulated colors is more helpful. Alex says, make sure it's a clean palette knife. Oh yeah, I know, everything is dirty on my desk. I'm just rushing through it right now because it's a demo. Guinea says, I don't even know what kosher salt is. I don't think we have it here. I mean, it's basically, if I hold my hand up, it's much thicker than just regular salt. And so you can see in my hand that it's all different shapes. Like there's some pieces that are bigger, there's some that are smaller. And I use it a lot, actually. I feel like it's not as strong as regular salt. Michael says, would a box cutter not create an easier cut on the watercolor block? It might, but my worry with a box cutter is that it would be so sharp that I would just slice into the painting really fast. And if you really want something clean, you could always cut it with a box cutter after you take it off the block. Carrie Ann says, pickling salt. I never tried that. Bitmaskable says salt is fun, but it's a bit of a one-trick pony. Well, I think the reason it's like that is because a lot of people who work in watercolor know about it. And so it's very noticeable. And I think a lot of people can recognize it. I've never really used it in a painting before. Again, because I like just focusing on the watercolor paints and all these little effects for me gets in the way a little bit. Fuchs Farben says, I always have so much trouble getting the salt off after it dried. It often tears my paper. I wonder if you'd have an easier time if your paper is thicker, like this one. It could be your paper, actually. I think that 9 times out of 10, people's watercolor problems come from bad paper. Definitely more that than bad paints. I mean, you can have bad watercolor paints, but I don't think the range is nearly as big as what you get with paper. Renuka says, couldn't you take it off the block before you paint? You could, but then it just becomes a sheet of paper. And then when you paint on it, it's gonna buckle. That's the difference. So if you paint on this, it buckles, but then it dries again, and then you take it off, it dries perfectly flat. That's the difference. You don't have to stretch it because it's on a watercolor block. Cosma says, have you ever tried adding white ink to watercolor like Higgins or Liquitex? It makes the paint a bit opaque, like gouache, and it gives the work a different look. I've never done that before. I think my first thought would be to use gouache, just because I don't own any of those inks and I'm cheap, but I don't know. All right, let's let that dry. And I'm going to show you how you can do some effects with rubbing alcohol. And again, I think similar to the kosher salt, it's a very recognizable image. I mean, that's why I feel like some of these techniques, it does feel a little bit gimmicky to me, because I don't know, like I look at Winslow Homer watercolor paintings and I'm like, did he need kosher salt? Did he really need rubbing alcohol? He just did it. And I just like more direct techniques. But again, it's a painting preference. Doesn't have anything to do with one thing being better than another. Okay, so there's a gradient, just like that. And with the rubbing alcohol, it usually comes in just like a giant bottle like this. You can get it at any pharmacy. But what I like to do is just put it in a little container because it's just a little bit more manageable. And you can add it however you want. One thing I like to use is the item I can't find on my desk, which is a Q-tip. Where's my, oh, here it is. Okay. So what you can do with the Q-tip, and you could use a dropper or something, you could do that too. And so you just drop it on top like that. And it creates, almost looks like bacteria, doesn't it? Although I wonder what would happen if I painted with the Q-tip. Let's try that. I'll be honest, all of you, I'm doing stuff that I've never done before on this stream. So if you want somebody who knows everything, this is not the stream. This is somebody who doesn't know anything and is just trying out a bunch of things. I mean, that's what most art pro streams are like. It's more us going, I don't know, let's just see. But isn't that what being an artist is? I mean, how many of us really feel like we know what we're doing all the time? I never do. And so for me, this is what the artistic process is, not knowing what you're doing most of the time. All right, let's try another gradient. See how that looks. Maybe get this a little bit darker up here. Okay, and actually I'm gonna lift a little bit at the bottom so I can really get like a bright gradient. Okay, so let's try drawing lines into the alcohol. Let's just see. Oh my gosh, that's awesome. It looks like a tapeworm, I don't know. Okay, I like that a lot. That's really fun. Cool. Oh, and you can even see it in the gradient, although I wonder if I could use the cleaner side. Wow, that's like really dramatic. Oh, I guess, okay, so this side of my Q-tip was like loaded up. This side was not. And so I guess like here, I got a more crisp edge, but you can see my worm just went bleh. So yeah, I mean, I bet you anything, you could even put this in like a little spray bottle and spray on top. Sorry, I don't have a spray bottle with me, but this could totally be fun. All right, so let's label what this is. Kosher salt. This is rubbing alcohol. Let me zoom out so you can all see better. Rubbing alcohol dropped in. And this is rubbing alcohol applied with a Q-tip. That is really cool. Okay, this is not quite dry yet. Let me put the blow dryer on it. Let's see. Thank you. Okay, now I don't know if people noticed this, but while the gradient dried on the kosher salt, does everybody see this? This area was very watery, and so the kosher salt sort of sucked things in more dramatically. Up here, I had less water, and so actually, let me just flake this off. Maybe I can just use this like foam brush. Actually, I want to do it here. Get that off. Okay, so it looks to me like the kosher salt does better when there's more water. Let me zoom in just a little bit more. Okay, so does everybody see up here? The kosher salt took some away, but it's pretty low value. But then when we come up here, where there was a lot of water, you can see it's a little bit more dramatic. So those are some full techniques. I myself don't really use a lot of these, but they're fun if that's something that you'd like to try out. All right, let's see what's going on in the comments. Oh, thanks, Trish. Careful with the hot hair dryer, the rubbing alcohol. Has anybody here ever set something on fire? Hopefully you haven't. I don't think I have. I don't remember. Carrie Ann, you read my mind, because we're going to do cling wrap in a little bit. Yes, Karen says, be careful with the alcohol. It burns. Moose says, looks like a microbe. I know, isn't that really fun? I really like the way that looks. I mean, I feel like I'd have to be painting something pretty specific to want that. Nikki Create says, I love that you're just playing with it. Shows us all that it's okay to just play. Yeah, because you know something, I got a lot of comments on YouTube where people really try to correct me and they're like, you're doing it wrong and this, this, and this. I'm like, dude, I'm just trying it. Okay. It's okay. It's okay to use things the wrong way, figure it out, regret it, and fix it later. That's so much the process. I mean, how many of us have an expert leading us, holding our hand through the whole process? I like this comment from Phyllis. Watercolor is intimidating to me. It has a life of its own. Oh my gosh. More so than I think any other material. You cannot control watercolor. To me, watercolor is like having kids. It's like if I tell them to do something, they don't want to do it. Like I actually stopped recommending books to my kids because if I recommended a book to them, it was basically a guarantee that they were not going to read it. So it just broke my heart because I recommended A Wrinkle in Time and they wouldn't read it. Oh, that made me so sad. So now what I'm doing is I'll buy books, but I'll just leave them around the house. Like I won't actually say, read this book because I know that they won't do it. Renuka says, that's so true. Watercolor is about letting go of the control. You can control it in specific situations, but I really think the best watercolor paintings show off the watercolor's attitude. Shows off the properties of losing that control. And that's hard for us, I think, as artists. All right, let's do some layering. And actually, I'm going to switch to the hot press paper so we can get more different results. Okay, so I'm just going to write this here, hot press paper. Okay. And now let's zoom in and I'm going to show you how to do some layering because layering is really fun. Let's get up close. I mean, I think that one of the strengths of watercolor is being able to do just really easy glazing. So for example, if you have a bright red, something like this, I mean, to me, layering is really fun because you get to take advantage of what's already been painted, but you can adjust it. So actually, if I go in here, let me do something a little more textured like that. Let's show more texture up there. I'm going to make the value a little bit darker in the middle. Okay, so if I have a mark like that, and I'm like, oh, I really like the mark, but I don't really like the color that much. Doing a very light glaze, it basically lets you tint the colors barely. It's a great way to do it as opposed to just like trying to paint over things. I see that a lot with acrylics and oils. People will say, oh, well, I have to paint over and start from scratch. And I'm like, no, maybe you should think about just tinting it a little bit and see how that works. So perfect timing, Susan, because I'm going to show you how to do a glaze right now. And the important thing with a glaze, your paper really does have to be dry. So let's do this again. I mean, I could not do watercolor without my blow dryer. It's just so incredibly indispensable. Okay, let me do like a light yellow glaze over one section, and then I'll do like maybe a blue glaze over that. So how about like a cadmium yellow, like something really citrusy like this. And so if I put this yellow on top, you can see the difference here is that I'm painting over this, but you can still see the marks that were made with red. And I can do the same thing at the top. Like if I want to do like maybe a light cerulean or something like this, ugh, that's kind of gross. I should clean my brush. So I could, for example, come down here, just do like a blue glaze on top of that. So this blue was a lot more dramatic. You can see the yellow is a lot lighter in value than the red. And so the yellow makes it more visible. Here it got a little bit muddled and I think it wasn't totally dry. But anyway, this is a glaze over watercolor. Okay, so there's that. And then, ha ha ha, I love doing wet into wet. Because what you can do is just take your brush and just go over it just with plain water. Oh, now my water has that like iridescent medium in it. Oops. But then what's fun about this is you can go in and do stuff like this, where you really let it have a mind of its own. And experiment with the amount of water. Like this is a lot of water. That's actually not going to be very helpful for the bleeds. So let me just lift that up with a paper towel. And your paper towel, this is your friend, okay? I use it all the time. When I put down a mark and it's too dark or I just want to make something lighter, use your paper towel. This is really, really handy for watercolor. Okay, let me get a darker color, like maybe like a blue. So you can make marks like that, but the thing is you don't have to stop there. I mean, you could totally like move this around. Actually, let me do a longer stroke so you can all see that better. So like I could do this and really just let it go wherever it feels like it. And it's really fun because you get these incredible results that you couldn't get anywhere else. You can keep it going down here. Maybe I could do a little bit of red here. I mean, I think what would be fun is to do this with the rubbing alcohol. I mean, actually, there's a little bit of iridescent stuff in here. But this can be really fun. And it also depends on the thickness. Like here, I put down pretty thick paint. You can see it's not activating as much. Or if I do this, that's quite different. Or something like that. So this is really fun when you're just trying to play around. And again, use that paper towel because I can see the water like collecting down here, which is not so great. Okay, so bleeds plus wet into wet. Cool. That Sketcher says, tip, to avoid having to constantly change your water, have two cups instead, one for cleaning your brush, one for clean water for wet on wet stuff. Awesome. That's great. Carrie Ann says, do you only have one cup of water? No, I don't actually. I have the Click and Go and I have another one over here, but honestly, it's not because I'm smart. It's because I can't get up during the stream to get my stuff. That's the only reason why. Amer says, what I'm noticing is that watercolor doesn't reactivate as much as gouache does when trying to layer it. It does not. Like, for example, here, when I painted the yellow over the red, if the red had been gouache, it totally would have mushed all over the place. I guess if the watercolor isn't like bone dry, maybe some of it would lift, but it's definitely not like gouache where you really have to watch out for that. Elisa says, something I love doing with watercolor is putting down a layer of watered down acrylic so it won't lift and the glaze like crazy on top. Oh, that's really smart. I don't really like acrylic that much as watercolor, but definitely that's a tip. I mean, that's my personal preference. All right, let's take a look at different types of brushes. Because I know the traditional watercolor brush is something more like this. So this is a Winsor & Newton Professional Watercolor Sable brush. And what you'll see is that a lot of watercolor brushes have a very particular shape. Some of them are like this one, which is more of a rectangle. Some of them have like a slant to them. There's rounds. You can do whatever you want. But basically, my personal thought is I don't really like these that much. These like traditional watercolor paints, they're not really my cup of tea because I just feel like they're a little bit limiting because the shape. I mean, you can do different things with it. Obviously, you can try stuff like this, but hang on. Let me show you what you can do with a simi brush. I love simi brushes. Oh my God. And yeah, I know it's weird. I know that a sumi brush is not your typical brush for watercolor, but I mean, look at this brush, okay? It's really wide and you would think, oh, it can only make wide strokes. And it can. I mean, you can do stuff like this. And I like how uneven it is. I know some people might prefer something like this, which is very consistent, but I just love these types of strokes. And the other thing is you can do stuff like this where the brush gets very messy and sloppy. And you would not believe how thin and tiny of a stroke you can make with a sumi brush. And so sometimes I hold it like a pencil and you can do strokes that are like crazy thin. And actually it would work better if I worked out some of the paint, because if you want to do tiny strokes like this, it's usually better in that way. Okay, so that's what the sumi brush does. Now see, if I tried to do that with this watercolor brush, let's see, I mean, maybe I can do it. I can, but it's harder and it's a lot wider. And the strokes are a little bit more stubby at the end. Like if I hold this up, does everybody see how the sumi brush, it like sort of trails off? This does not. This is way more blunt. Okay, so here we're going to write watercolor sable brush. This is the sumi brush. Okay, now let's try the fan brush. This is really fun. And with the fan brush, you can just wet your colors. It's a really wide brush. And if you just go down straight, you'll get something like that. And so I guess it could be consistent, but I love these strokes. I think that these are beautiful. And you could layer it up some more. I mean, isn't that cool? I love that. Or more like a stippling effect. I feel like that would be really good for grass. So that's the fan brush. Super fun. And then there are other things you can do as well. For example, there's also these foam brushes, which feel really stubby and silly to me, but if you really want to like just fill a big section and make it fairly consistent, the foam brush is pretty good at that. It's probably better at it than just your average plain watercolor brush. So these are a nice option. And then we also have these bamboo reed pens. And I use these a lot for ink wash, but you can totally use them with watercolor. The only thing is you have to puddle up a lot of water to use it. And actually what you could do, you could probably just paint it on top. Let me see if that works. I've never done that before. I just thought of it right now. Okay, that did not work. Maybe if I put it into like the watercolor tube, if I have some, like a tube, if I put it, oops, this is all dried out. Maybe if I put like a squirt of blue here, let's just see what happens. You can just dip it in here. Maybe, oh, you know what I should try? I should dip the pen in water first. Hey, awesome. Okay, so we just learned something. Dip the pen in water, put it in the watercolor tube. Ah, okay, that's what I was looking for. You see, I just figured that out like just now, okay? And what's really fun about this, I happen to like the strokes being really unpredictable. And by the way, it doesn't matter which side you use. You can use the other side as well. But I happen to like the bamboo pen just because the line work, it's just so uneven, but I love that. I guess you have to keep dipping. Yeah, if you don't dip. Although I could like dip like that. Spread that around. Yeah, you have to keep activating it. All right, that's fun. And you can use the big one. It's the same. Also, I need to show off the Sumi brush. Isn't this thing awesome? Somebody told me, like, I look like a guinea pig. But there's so many Sumi brushes you can get. Like, this one's a little bit bigger. But honestly, when I paint with watercolor, I only paint with, like, one, maybe two brushes. I rarely use more than one, but I've always wanted to get like a roll of like arches, like throw it on the ground, paint with this thing someday. Someday when I can afford what, like a $300 roll of arches, that would take a really long time. Anyway, someday I'll use my guinea pig brush. All right. Let's do some saran wrap. Those of you who thought of it before me. All right, I think I'm gonna do something that's fairly dark in value, so that way we can really see it. So let me just do Alizarin Crimson. Again, I've never done this before. I just read about it. So let's do a big blob of red, and I wanna have fairly dark value because I think if I don't, I don't think I'm gonna get as much of a range as if I really throw down the red. Okay, so now, let's just stick that on top. Look at this. And I think technically you're supposed to let it dry. I've never done this before. Who can tell me in the chat what's going on? Dat Sketcher says, I wonder how much their performance differs from the metal ones. Oh, you're talking about the bamboo pens? Oh, they're so different. The metal nibs, like the ones that Kat Hwang uses for her comics, they're so, so delicate and so, this is like Neanderthal nib. It's not subtle. It just is so unpredictable. Like a metal nib, you can really control it like crazy. So if you want to paint like a Neanderthal, this is the way to go, which I do. I'm just not a very elegant artist. Okay, so Susan says you need to let it dry. Okay, so let me put it away and let's just see what happens. It's not going to take that long though. Okay, but I do want to mark that this is the bamboo reed pen. My dream is to post all these images of the different marks onto artprof.org. It's just, oh my God, I have so much to do. I'm trying to not go insane at the same time. But we did do a stream similar to this on acrylic techniques. And wouldn't it be fun to have like a visual wiki of all of these materials? Who here wants that? Because I just think that would be really cool. Okay, so let's put the saran wrap aside. And let's do some resist techniques now. So let me grab, oh, you know what? I forgot to introduce these. These are water brushes. And these are really fun because you can see in the back, there's water. And so you don't have to carry a jug of water with these. So I use these a lot when I'm traveling, and this is a different one. They just look like this. And so basically what you do is you like squeeze, like you take the watercolor here, and then you can like squeeze it out like this. So you can actually squeeze this while you're painting, but you can also just use it to reactivate. And these are really nice too. Like you can get them in very different sizes. Like to me, this is more similar to the Sumi brush because it's like really, really delicate. So you can see why I'm not such a fan of the watercolor brushes, because at least for me, this type of shape is a lot better than the ones that are like square. But again, it depends on your personal preference. Okay. We'll just write here, this is the water brush. All right, let's do some resist. So resist is super fun. It makes me feel like I'm in the third grade. So what you just do, you can do it with oil pastels. This is Caran d'Ache. And it's basically what it sounds like. You just take the watercolor and you just stick it on top. And that resists the red. Again, I think you have to have something pretty specific in mind to do this, but I don't know. I think some people really like it. You can also take tape and do stuff like this. Actually, this is something I like doing, is just like, I know people like using the straight edge, but sometimes I like doing things that are a little bit rough on purpose. But it's also really good if you want to just like basically make like a little stencil. I mean, if I was trying to paint like a grid or something, this is totally what I would be doing. Okay, so let me demonstrate how that works. Get some of this green here. Let's mix it with a little bit of yellow. Okay, so here you can paint over it like this. I guess this is one of those like satisfying Instagram videos where you like paint it and then peel off the tape. I feel like that's half of Instagram is people doing that. Then that and putting Mentos into Coca-Cola or cotton candy into water. I watched somebody put like this huge scary amount of cotton candy into water. I was just a little horrified. It's like, really? And it was like video after video. Okay, so let's let that dry. Ulrika says, happy birthday, lots of arty splashes and smiles. Oh my gosh, you guys, I have never gotten so many well wishes for my birthday. I was like, wow, what did I do to deserve this? So everybody who wrote me a note, there's so many messages, I can't reply to every single one, but thank you so much. Plus, I was like, dude, I'm 45. Like, although for a little while, I thought I was 46. I was like, shoot. And I was like talking to my sister-in-law, she's like, no, I'm a year older than you and I'm 46. I'm like, shoot. crap. This is just really like, yeah. So everybody, thank you for that. Oh, I like this. Carrie Ann says, wax candles can be used for resist. I wonder if that's hard to peel off. I've never done that before, but I think it would be fun. I mean, maybe that would be part of the fun, is that it does peel it off. Brittany says, I would love a visual dictionary. Such a good idea. Yeah. Same thing, says Renata. See, here's the thing, you guys. Everything at Art Prof, I want to do all of it. We don't have the budget or the staff. It's just, I have too many responsibilities and I need to start delegating them to other people, but we need budget to make that happen. It's not cheap to hire people. So yeah. All right. So that's another resist. Let me label these before I forget. So this one is oil pastel. This one is blue tape. Okay, and then the other resist, which is really fun, is another Winsor & Newton medium, and it's called Colorless Art Masking Fluid. And, you know, these are really cool mediums, but again, it's like, I've never been able to like plan in advance that far where I want to put it, that I've never actually used it. I feel like my way to do it, if I want to leave something the white of the page, I would actually rather just cheat and use white gouache. I feel like it's easier and I don't have to plan so much. So yeah. And then you can see, I mean, it got a little gooky up here. I mean, it's basically like liquid latex. So this one's been sitting around for a little bit, but let me grab another brush and let's just paint a little area here with the art masking fluid. This. So the idea is that you put it in a brush and you can like really control how you mask it. So if you wanted to do like very thin little brush strokes like this, it'll peel off later on. And I think you have to wash your brush right away. I think if you don't, it will set in your brush, which is not so great. Okay, so again, I need to let that dry. And while that's drying, I'm going to do some scratch resist. So, well, not resist, scratching basically is what I'm talking about. So let's get in, maybe do some orange. And there's a couple ways you can do it. Like if you want to just do a wash first, you could try that. And actually I want the value to be a little bit stronger because I want to be able to see it better. But I mean, you can take anything. I mean, you can just take this like pottery tool that I have and do cross-hatching like this. I mean, I bet you could try it also like this. So if I want to just scratch beforehand, and I bet you anything, you could try a razor blade too. Maybe the razor blade makes a different surface. Yeah, the razor blade is way more aggressive. I know you can't see what I'm doing, but I'll show you in a minute. So actually, let me try the razor blade over here. That might be fun. I'll use a different color so you can distinguish them a little bit better. Okay, so if I paint like a little strip of blue down here at the bottom, I can take the razor blade and do this. Looks pretty similar. I mean, it's a little bit wider, but not that much. Okay, so let me do razor blade here because I already scratched into that. All right, so this is razor blade. Like that. Yeah, it's more pronounced. I feel like when you scratch it first, it's more dramatic. Let's see what happens with the Kemper tool that I was using. Like this is actually a pottery tool that I'm using up here. I mean, I feel like that would be really fun for doing cross-hatching. Okay, let's see what that orange looks like on top. Right. Yeah, the paper's pretty busted. You make it a little bit darker, maybe get more value. Although, maybe having less value is better. So let's take a paper towel. Yeah, that's too much. Let's add a little bit more back, like this. All right, so let's mark these. So this is razor blade. This is the Kemper tool. This is, again, razor blade and Kemper tool. This is paint first. This is scratch first. That's pretty fun. Again, I don't think I could see myself doing this. I don't know. I guess I sound like such a watercolor prude. Like, I don't feel like I need all these extra things. I don't know. Maymay says, do you guys know any artworks with a similar watercolor scratching technique? It looks really interesting, but can't imagine it on an actual piece. I'm sure if I really wanted to, I could find a way to do it. It's just, again, like I tend to like just using straight watercolor. Okay, so let's peel off the masking tape. Oh, wow, that worked really well. Sometimes it creeps a little bit underneath the masking tape, but I guess not this time. Although I wonder if maybe me using the hot press paper made it better because it's so smooth. And actually, let's just dry the masking fluid so we can paint over it. Let me see if that's okay. Yep, okay. Let's paint over that, and then you'll be able to see exactly what happens. Okay, so this is the masking fluid, and you can see how it's resisting the paint in all these spots. Okay, so now let's dry that, see what happens. Hang on, let me dab that. Okay, that's still wet. Ugh, all my stuff is dirty. Like this. Okay, I think you can just rub it off with your finger. I haven't used this in so long. Yeah, there it is. Okay, let me zoom so you can all see. It's a little bit hard to see. Okay, there we go. Yeah, like it just peels off. Isn't that weird? I'll dry this. There it is. It's like a cucumber mask, you know, like you put a cucumber mask on your face. I mean, I don't, but I know some people do. Yeah, so there it is. All right. And now let's peel off this. Oh, those just came off with my fingers. Yeah, these two, I just rubbed them. All right. So that's the art masking fluid. Cool. All right. And now I'm going to show you a couple of watercolor techniques that are not watercolor, but that show watercolor-like effects, because that can be really, really fun. For example, I had so much fun with these watercolor pencils because there's a couple things you can do. Okay, so first of all, you can totally just draw with them as colored pencils. That's fine. But the fun thing is that you can activate them. And I really like activating them, letting it dry, and then drawing on top. Because it's this really pretty, like, back and forth that starts to happen. I wonder what would happen if I painted into it. Let's see. Let me try. Oh, weird. That's so funny. It totally goes on top. Like, I thought it was going to mush around. But you can totally do it while the watercolor is still wet. I wonder what would happen if I dipped this into water. Let me just see. Oh, it's not that different. Yeah, that pretty much looks the same. But, I mean, what you can do is, let me just put down another layer. So if I put like a blue here, and let's dry it. See, where would I be without my dryer? You can do this with a straw, by the way, by just blowing it. But see, now that this is dry, it's like I can go over it. Almost like a colored pencil glaze. And I mean, if you wanted to do it more subtly, you could do that. And then the other fun thing is you can totally activate this and then paint over all those sections. So this is really fun. So these are watercolor pencils. I also have these Caran d'Ache crayons, and this is the same thing. These are water soluble. So you just take them out and it's the exact same thing. The difference though, is that these feel softer. They're not as stiff and you can cover areas a lot faster. I don't tend to use these for this purpose, but you can use them. And again, let's see what happens if I draw over it with the crayon, because I kind of think it's gonna work. You see, I'm so surprised that it's not bleeding. I guess it really needs the brush to activate. And these are really fun because you can blend them and you can layer them. Like, isn't that amazing how much the blue just goes right on top? And we have several tutorials on how to draw with these. So check those out because, oh my God, they're so fun. But yeah, you can definitely do that. And I really, really like using these Tombow brush pens. And these were so helpful for me in terms of being able to control things a lot more, because I was so scared of watercolor for so long. And what I discovered with the brush pens, and I did this, if you watch our tutorial where I go to China, what I brought was the Tombow brush pens with the watercolor brushes. And so what I would do is I would just go and do this. You can just put the water pen on top. And it's really fun because it's like you just end up activating only the parts that you want. So it's like you can keep the rigidity of the marker, but then you just activate the couple of spots that you want to do. So if you look up Art Prof China, you will see that a lot of my tutorials have these Tombow brush pens combined with the water pens. Okay, so this is Tombow brush pens. This is Caran d'Ache Neo Color 2. Make sure it's Neo Color 2 because they also have Neo Color 1, which is not water soluble. I believe I saw a super chat come through, scrolling up, trying to find it. Yes, it's from RB Dick. Thank you so much for the super sticker. We always appreciate your support. It's so important to make sure that we stay free because a lot of platforms have online paywalls. We don't have one because I think everybody should be able to access it. Alisa says, personally, I hate Winsor & Newton masking fluid. It rips every paper I use it on. The one I tend to use is Pebeo. Well, I've never used that before. Well, the Winsor & Newton one is fine for me. Could be because I was using the hot press paper, which is really smooth. It really depends. Slepnir says, Professor Liu, you know when you were old, when you can't remember your age. I couldn't. I thought I was 46. For like half the day, I was like posting on social media that I'm 46. I'm like, yeah, it was. Glowy says, don't use a good brush with masking fluid. Yeah, I think it does set up. So that's definitely a good idea. Although that Sketcher says there's also specific silicone brushes made for masking fluid, or you can use silicone sculptor tools. Jeez, I am learning so much today about all these mediums. I'm so happy that you're all here with me. Elisa says, if you put some dish soap on your brush before you use it, it makes it easier to clean. That's great. That's a really good tip. C. Cantrell says, can you use the masking fluid over dried color? I don't see why not. I mean, you totally could. Oh my gosh. You guys are a watercolor encyclopedia on your own. I mean, the great thing is that we're all here together, so you can share and fill in the blanks for all the stuff that I don't know about. Oh, Vindir says, I also learned that when the watercolor paint has dried, you can use a cutter or blade to scratch the paper, creating highlights. You know what? Let's try it. If I take this, I guess I would need the razor blade. I don't think the Kemper tool would work very well. Oh, yeah. I don't know if it's my paper, but I do have to press pretty hard. It's not easy. And you can see that the shapes, they're pretty rugged. Like you can't get like a clean scratch board mark, but yeah, that's super fun. Susan says, you can get a masking fluid applicator. It is rubber tipped. Oh my gosh. I had no idea there's a whole universe of masking fluid. Mayahika says, when you use watercolor pencils and dip it in the water, don't leave it out or else the pencil lead or pigment can crack. I did not know that. And Elisa says, I wonder if it might work better with moist paper. Yeah, I think you're all discovering is that there's a million options and you can do this however you want. And it's just constant experimentation. Oh, we have to do the saran wrap. Okay, let me see the saran wrap. Hope it's dry. All right, so here we go. Let's see. Ooh. Okay, that is really cool. I have to say, I don't think I would use this in a painting, but I feel like if I was making decorative paper, or I was doing like a collage, like this would be awesome for collage or any other surface. That is really, really cool. And actually, you could probably go in and paint over it as well. You know, I wonder if you could do that with aluminum foil, because aluminum foil also has a very different type of surface. By the way, everybody, I would love for you to join me in the Art Prof Discord. We're having a stage session, and that's going to be in the Post Live Streams stage channel and also in Art Alongs if you want to type and post images. And the Discord invite link is in the video description below. If you have not been to a stage session, it gives you the opportunity to speak to me on voice. So much fun. I love hearing the voices from across the world. You don't have to talk on voice. You can totally just type or just listen, but they're really, really fun. So I encourage you to all meet me there. Subscribe to our channel, give us a like, leave a comment, help us with the YouTube gods. And a big thank you to our top Patreon supporters. You are all so important to our mission to keep art education accessible to everybody who wants it. Everybody, thank you so much for watching. I'll see you next time. Bye.